Okay, welcome back. Item two already. Christmas Eve, 2021. We're going to do this hour another version, so to speak, of our recent program on how the bioweapon is destroying human blood, our circulation, our lives. And I'm speaking on behalf of all the people around the world who have been shot up with this stuff. What I'd like you to do is go to the top of headlines, or better yet, go to guests and open guests and go to Jeff and Erica, and you're going to click on the first story title underneath our names. It is absolute visual proof how the bioweapon destroys the blood and its circulation. Photos. There's a lot here. We're going to start with that. Then I want you to come back to guests, tonight's guests, and follow the links that are below that, because we're going to go through those as well. There's some remarkable information there, stunning imagery, and other things that you need to see and be aware of. What we're trying to do is offer a gift of sorts, the gift of knowledge, the gift of wisdom, the gift of awareness in these extremely treacherous times. And I know it's not exactly Merry Christmas stuff, but it's critically important. This next year is going to be, you think 2021 was tough? You better buckle up twice, and it's not going to get any better thereafter. Just got word today that, for example, the country of Paraguay has shut down. No one can move in there anymore. And military, armed military, are going door to door in the lower classes now, starting there, and forcefully injecting the citizens of Paraguay. That's where this is going in too many cases. So hold on, and I hope you're prepared. You've got to be aware, alert, and intelligent, or you're not going to make it. These are going to be incredibly demanding and challenging times. Erica, are you there?
I am here, Jeff. Good evening.
Well, welcome back, as always.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we have in this first story, which again is at the top of headlines, or better yet, at guests. Tonight's guest, just click on the box and you go right there. It's absolute visual proof how the bioweapon destroys the blood and circulations. You need to understand what's going on. Because if you don't, and you're hanging around people who have been shot up with this bioweapon, you may find yourself in very similar circumstances regarding your blood and your circulation. No joke, and we will show you that during this first hour. Hour two, after this one, Nurse Anne is coming back to again bring us up to date on the horrors that are being perpetrated, and I use that word with 100% commitment, perpetrated in many, if not all, of the major and minor hospitals in this country by medical staff, by doctors, and others who either know better or should know better than to prescribe and put remdesivir, for example, into people who have nothing more than usually the common cold. How do I say that? It's a flu. It's a cold. Because they have no test for COVID. They have no test for COVID. Can you explain that, Erica, please, why we have no valid test for COVID, whatever COVID is?
Well, this test they've been using, the PCR, was never intended to be used as a diagnostic. It was a tool for molecular biologists working in a lab to amplify sequences, but never for diagnostic purposes, and certainly never in the absence of clinical symptoms. The only case that could be made in the case of maybe a diagnostics would be a supportive role when you have other criteria to go along with it. Or, conversely, if you wanted to start with a PCR and then confirm it secondarily with something, another test called the Sanger sequence. But all by itself, it's meaningless, and particularly in the absence of clinical symptoms.
And its inventor, Dr. Kerry Mullis, Nobel laureate for inventing it, said the same thing that Erica just said many times. And Dr. Kerry Mullis died, interestingly enough, just 12 weeks before this whole nightmare was rolled out on us. Okay, first story, absolute visual proof how the bioweapon destroys the blood in circulation. What we're going to see here is compliments of a friend of this program and yours and mine who lives in an area where he knows a doctor, a woman doctor, physician. She's got a 17-year-old son and a 26-year-old daughter. She obviously lectured both of them, informed both of them for a long time, for nearly 2 years, about why they never must get this injection. Tragically, her 17-year-old son went out and got it. I won't speculate on why. He just did. So, being a professional physician, she took blood samples for both her daughter and her son to watch and study them. And what we're going to see on this page is the progression of blood after 10 minutes from withdrawal time, 20 minutes after being withdrawn, and then 36 hours. This is really important to understand because we have seen it elsewhere. If you've seen the video of a glass cup being put on someone's shoulder area where they were just injected within 30 minutes and vacuum is applied to that cup, it does pull blood out of the system. What does the blood look like, Erica? These are people who just got shot, remember? And then within 30 minutes, they're being vacuumed of the injected portion, but their blood comes out with it. And what do we see?
Oh, it looks like a piece of chopped liver. It's a solid. It's not liquid.
It's terrible. Cranberry sauce in a can? Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing?
Yeah.
And you look at it and you say, how could this be so soon after being injected, within 30 minutes? And it's the way it works. Remember, the bioweapon, the so-called vaccine, nothing could be further from the truth. This is not a vaccine. It's a killer. So they've designed this, they've created it, they've tested it, and then they've deployed it on the world. And is it the same in every batch? Is it the same as it was a year ago, this so-called vaccine? No. We think it's being changed routinely, correct?
I would guess. I mean, what's to prevent them from doing that? It's an experiment.
They're having a field day on our expense, at our expense, and human life means nothing to them. And them, Big Pharma, international globalist, bankster elite, you name it. It's the control mechanism on this planet that is destroying humankind. That is their goal, to take most of it out of the picture. And if Erica is correct, the ingredients in this bioweapon may well add up to an ELE. Now, without going into detail on that, Erica, just explain a little bit more what an ELE is for those who may not know, and why you came to that conclusion.
Well, it wasn't so much me, but people that have been, I guess, pontificating on this. You know, the more that we find out about it, the more devious it looks. We have the prospect that it destroys the blood once it gets into a human by infecting various components of the blood and then causing immune responses that are detrimental to the host. But then this same virus or portions of the virus can go on to infect your bacteria, particularly in the digestive tract, and once those cells become infected, or in response to the presence of these proteins, they can start producing peptides and proteins that are also toxic to the blood and nervous system. So, whether or not this becomes a chronic condition, I don't know. Nobody appears, at least in this country. And I think in Europe they are starting to look at this more seriously, but I haven't heard anybody in this country that's considering the possibility of this bacterial involvement.
No. And you would think that some would, but they're not. Are they being told not to? Don't know. But this does have so many pathways of bringing the human health condition overall into a tragic state, a terminal state, that it's almost incredible. You think of it, oh, it's got one bad component in it, the spike protein. How many pathways, just off the top of your head, just for fun? You can use the word several, I don't care. But there's more than one way that this kill shot can kill.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it attacks portions of the blood and the immune system. And just those two things alone is going to shorten lifespan dramatically.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to our pictures here. And they're really rather self-explanatory. If we start down at the top, I'll take some of these and Erica will take some others. I'll just start off. You'll see there's a glass. It's a little glass container. It's like a little glass, a cup. And you'll see blood in the top from the 17-year-old boy. Now, he got the Pfizer vax on December 11th, and the details of the timing and all that are right above it in the description. You will find them there. The second glass has the blood of the 26-year-old daughter. Look at the difference. All right, this is minutes after the blood was drawn, just that quickly. Look at this kid's blood and look at his sister's blood. And then ask yourself, cranberry sauce, how can the human heart push that kind of sludge through an entire circulatory system? How big is your circulatory system? Every pound of body fat, so to speak, you have is about 1 mile in capillary length that the heart has to push. That's how tiny it is, has to push blood through. Vascularized body, 1 pound, 1 mile. Just keep that in mind. Your heart has a lot of work to do. All right, go ahead, Erica, with a second and take a couple there. And that's the 26-year-old daughter's blood just 10 minutes after the blood was drawn. Go ahead.
Yep, still looking nice and bright, red, hasn't solidified that we can see.
Spread out evenly around the edge of the glass. Notice that. That's another important part of this.
Right. Okay, so this is a sequential progression of our time lapse.
Yeah, 10 minutes, then the next one is 20.
Yep. And then we get down to the 17-year-olds, and you can see it's starting to darken.
10 minutes after it was drawn.
Yeah, so it's starting to oxidize. It's losing its oxygen, or rather...
And look at the edges, too. If that were fluid and able to move, it would be a straight line around the edges, like the black line you see. But it's pulled in. It's already constricting on itself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that black in there. Go ahead.
All right, so in the next one, you see further progression of that process. It's really starting to darken.
Just 10 more minutes.
Yeah. And now you can almost see the, I'm guessing these white strands are the beginning of a clot, clots.
Each one of those.
Yeah.
Remember, the components of the blood are very small, and they're not nano, they're just small. And that's
correct.
Very interesting. What do you think the white is? Is that actually a color of this change in these components? Or is it a reflection?
I'm not sure if we're seeing a reflection or fibrin, you know, it forms a mesh-like clot. I mean, you can see it sometimes when you have a scab, and some of it's a little bit white. I mean, there's platelets and white blood cells. I'm guessing that's what we're looking at. It's hard to know if that's a reflection or... But it's something. It's some kind of solid.
Leukocytes, lymphocytes also?
Macrophages. I mean, mm-hmm. They're all agglomerating, which is what happens with a clot.
Look at that kid's blood 20 minutes after it was drawn. 20 minutes. That's it. All right. Now, let's jump down to 36 hours later. Unvaxxed 26-year-old woman, that's the sister, 36 hours after her blood was drawn. There was one draw from each of them, and it was tracked, that one draw. Her blood, after a day and a half, is still in a thin and healthy, normal state. It's not thickened. You'll see further down, we have a video of this as well. And then we look at the 17-year-old brother, 36 hours after his blood was drawn. It looks like a train wreck. Erica, go ahead.
Yeah, that's awful. That's just, that's not blood of a healthy person, certainly. And I'm guessing the white strands are further progression of the clotting process.
Makes perfect sense. The cup, the little glass cup, I believe is up against a light background, natural light perhaps. That's why it looks like it's illuminated in the middle. And you can see along the bottom, what are these black curved strands all along the bottom of the image there?
I think that's, I believe, the start of the clot, the fibrinogen then turning into fibrin. It's just all agglomerating, and you can see, I'm looking at the sediment, which I'm guessing is red blood cells, just completely destroyed, I guess, at the bottom there.
Look at the top, it looks like mountains under the ocean.
Yeah.
What would that be? Just more sedimentation pulled together?
I think it's the destruction of the red blood cells just falling to the bottom, or other proteins in the blood. But yeah, it's some kind of sedimentation, obviously. But that's horrific.
I really, and speaking for both of us, we both were moved and very concerned about the mother. Imagine if your son had done this for whatever reason, peer pressure, snuck out and got this shot, and she's now tracking this. And she's helping a lot of people by doing this. So we thank her. And also Bruce, who made these images available. No one else has produced images like this doctor has. These are extraordinary. And if they don't tell you the story, nothing will.
Well, it's a side-by-side comparison, so you see what it should look like versus what you actually have, and how that's protecting anybody from anything, virus or otherwise. I'd like to hear it.
So if the blood looks that bad, and the blood is our immune system, front line, what kind of immunological protection can that blood be providing to people who have taken the shot?
That's a joke. The blood, I mean, that the blood is an organ unto itself, and that organ is completely messed up.
That's a really important statement you just made. People don't think like that. The largest organ of the body, the skin. The blood is an organ, too. It's just a liquid organ.
Yep.
And that shot is destroying it, killing it.
Yes.
And this isn't just one example. We've seen this in other examples, not as vividly of this, but we'll talk more about that as we progress in this hour. It's New Year's Eve. We're not going to take any breaks at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to keep right on going. Okay, past the 36-hour images of the daughter and the son. Boy, that is horrifying to see that. We got a video. It's a short video. Video comparison showing the texture and consistency of the blood of the 17-year-old son, the top glass, and the 26-year-old daughter, the bottom glass. I don't know how long after the blood was drawn this video was made, but it probably was within that 10 to 20 minute range, I'm going to guess. It's not being backlit from underneath, so it's sitting on a tabletop. But go ahead, let's all push play together, and if you have, push it again. So, Erica, tell us what we see. You can push the button there, right? You got it up.
Yep.
So the doctor picks the first one up.
Yep. And it's already solidified.
Play that again, everyone. I want you really to get this firmly ensconced in your head. And I know a lot of you will want to show people that are pro-vax or anti, those of us who have chosen to continue with life's normal path. They're going to want to show them this material. But I just want to caution you, even though you have proof here from a doctor, you have the visual proof, don't expect people to say, wow, thank you, I get it now. I hope some do, but there's a real reticence on the part of most of these people, especially the vaxxed, to express buyer's remorse. They're beginning to, but most of them will not. So click that again, play again. Right at the bottom there's a bar, you can click it, and just look at the difference. Look at that. The 17-year-old's blood is solid. Solid. And there's his sister's. Now, I found out that the doctor is following up and doing more extraction and analyses of the two people involved in this, her daughter and her son. So we'll be having more added to this, which is, I think, very good. Again, this is really unprecedented. You're seeing this for the first time here on this particular venue. And we're very, very proud to be able to bring it out. We've got to get this straight. People can't go along without at least having the chance to look at this kind of stuff. This is not every single person who has been vaccinated, who has gone in to give blood, for example, which we'll talk about more in a few minutes, tell us what the phlebotomists are running into.
Well, this one particular phlebotomist mentioned that about 50% of vax people who come in to donate blood will throw clots as the blood is being collected. And they know this because they've got a machine that will sound an alarm when it senses a clot. And the thing goes off repeatedly when these people are in the process of donating blood. 50% of vax people will do that. And that's consistent with Dr. Charles Hoff mentioning that in his patient population, 63% or 62% of his vax patients will have an elevated D-dimer level within a week of having the vax, and that's evidence of microclots.
For those of you who don't know what microclots are, they are caused by the spike protein going down the littlest blood pathway there is, that's a capillary, and deciding to lock on to a cell. And once they lock on, the blood can no longer pass. I'm keeping this simplified. And that capillary is shut off at that point. And what happens to the cells beyond that point who are depending on that capillary for nutrition, for oxygen, for all sorts of proteins and things? They don't get anything. And they die. So you have a little microclot and you have a surrounding area of dead tissue. And go ahead, Erica. What happens over time? I mean, this is going on all over the body, from the brain to your toes.
This can be happening unbeknownst to the person. You wouldn't necessarily have symptoms. But you know, not being able to get adequate oxygen to your various organs and tissues, it compromises their function. They can't get oxygen, they can't get nutrients, and then they can't get rid of waste. So, you know, if that continues over time, your health is going to deteriorate. And then there's always the risk that a small clot becomes a bigger clot and breaks loose and ends up in the lungs or the heart or the brain.
So people who are injected with a bioweapon, according to all sources that we respect, are building microclots around the clock. Just think about that. I'm not trying to scare you. You all pretty well know the basics, but you have friends who have been injected. Now, unless they were lucky and got the saline placebo, they're throwing microclots 24 hours a day, from head to toe, in the brain, in the legs. And this is not DVT. These are microclots. They're little. But as Erica said, they can become big. We think this is going on. Talk about a slow fuse to termination. Microclots would seem to be exactly that, wouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the blood is just not healthy, so it's compromising the function of all the other organs. And not to mention, you know, just setting a breeding ground for infection, you know, bacterial, viral, fungal, whatever.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, a microclot, all of a sudden you've got dead tissue?
Yeah.
Rotting away.
Yep.
Perfect fodder for bacteria, fungus, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at what was going on in India early this year with the mucormycosis plague. And these were all supposedly people who had COVID. We don't know if they had COVID or the shot. But their blood was messed up, and they were being overrun, overcome with this black fungus, which is it seeds itself in the blood, or, you know, it begins in the sinus cavity and then very quickly can make its way into the blood where it feeds on iron.
Absolutely horrific pictures from India when that came out as well. Horrible.
Yeah,
okay.
So unhealthy blood is nothing to take lightly. And we don't even know if this, you know, ameliorates over time or does it get worse. I suppose it depends if somebody's permanently transfected with this gene to produce spike protein and which organs are producing the spike protein. I've heard some people say that it appears to increase over time rather than decrease.
Not encouraging. So when that CCP Chinese Communist Party video was leaked, when the guy said every American who's taken the shot is going to die, maybe he knew what he was talking about. I don't know. But that kind of horror is in front of us. It's surrounding us. And can it get on us?
Particularly, people keep lining up for these boosters.
What did you tell me? Every 3 months?
The UK is, I believe, they've just stated that yes, every 3 months a booster will be required to be up to date.
Wow.
Don't know how anybody's going to withstand a dose of this stuff every 3 months.
I think this is, well, what did Dr. Chetty tell us, a South African physician? How did he describe, let's just take just the spike protein. Just the spike protein. How did he describe that?
Yeah, it's the most lethal or toxic protein man has ever created.
And just keep in mind that's only one of the components of this kill shot.
Mm-hmm.
Just one. All right, let's go back to guests. Click on guests, tonight's guests, top left of the homepage, and bring up the Friday schedule and look under Jeff and Erica there for the you'll see the lead story we just went through. Now the second story is a universal blood donor reveals the horrors of blood donations. Click on that, and you'll bring it up. Let me take this one, and we'll just alternate as we go down the list. So this first one, you can see the woman's picture there. Universal blood donor reveals horrors of blood donations. I am a universal blood donor. I often get texts and emails about blood drives nearby. See, once you get your number, they want to keep after you. Give us more blood. They're requesting my O blood type to help those in need. I don't donate as often as I would like. Oftentimes I open the Red Cross app and I either have to work that day, the drive is near me, the blood drive, or the appointments are already full. However, today I believe I had one of those God-designed appointments. I again received a text from the Red Cross, and when I opened the link, there was a blood drive 15 minutes away with an appointment time in 20 minutes. So I booked the appointment and started out the door. She got there. The phlebotomist, who takes the blood, was a pleasant lady, and we chatted about the weather and such. I then questioned the machine across from me. What is that? It was a machine that takes power red, they call it power red donations. With a power red donation, one can donate nearly twice the amount of red blood cells. They remove your blood and filter out the red cells and give you back your plasma and platelets and other components. I asked how long it took to donate power red, and she replied that it is weight-based, the weight of the donor, and sensitive, that even if you bump into the machine, it will beep and alert. She said the gentleman that donated earlier had a higher hemoglobin, so it didn't take him very long. Being that my hematology knowledge is rusty, I also questioned that. She said she had seen people with much higher iron levels lately. As she said this, she gave me a look that made me question again because of the vax?
COVID.
Because of COVID, I missed that. Because of the COVID or vid, she shook her head slightly. No. Because of the shot, she nodded her head. She stated she has seen a dramatic increase in blood clotting. A dramatic increase. The Power Red machine beeps more as clots are setting off alerts. She has seen clots. This is what Erica mentioned a couple minutes ago. She has seen clots in the bags when the donation is complete. Now, that's a mind blower right there. They just took blood from somebody and they're already visually able to see clots in the bag. And even has had clots stringing, hanging off the 16-gauge needle as she pulls it out of a donor's arm. Now, let me finish it. I question how often are you seeing these clots? The answer was about half of those who had received the shot. I share this information because I believe I was in that donation chair to help be a voice. If you have taken the shot, maybe a call to your family doctor to see if they would check a D-dimer and how it would benefit you. That's a test for microclots or clots in the body, period. So then she just laughs it up a little. Donate blood and get a T-shirt. Okay. Now, what's the iron issue here, and how could those clots be forming that quickly? Or are they already in the blood and they're just being pulled out and extracted and hanging off the needle and shown as being clots in the bag? They got to be already in there, right?
Well, or in the process of forming. I mean, it's got to be liquid to come out of the needle at least somewhat. But the iron thing, I mean, they realized this when they first announced the virus, not the vax, but the virus, that people that were experiencing severe COVID had very high ferritin levels, which is an indication of, you know, a lot of iron and also iron in the blood. So further research revealed that this spike protein has the ability to interfere with hemoglobin and cause the iron molecule in hemoglobin, which that's what's in your red blood cell that helps you carry oxygen. It can actually cause the iron to dissociate from the hemoglobin. So you've got two toxic components in the blood all of a sudden, the unbound heme and then the unbound iron. And unbound iron in the blood alone will cause clotting or coagulation issues. The heme is also toxic, as are the heme components, the porphyrins, the protoporphyrins. So you've got a couple of messed up processes going on there. Free iron floating around, and then heme and porphyrins, and you can actually develop something called porphyria, which is very unpleasant and toxic and can cause a whole raft of symptoms, such as what we're seeing, neurological symptoms, kidney problems, gastrointestinal issues. In fact, now they're even suggesting that a screening process for this possibility would be just to do a urine test for some of these porphyrin products or metabolites. So there is some interplay with the spike protein and iron metabolism, and it's not good. And that's probably contributing to the clotting problem, but the spike protein, they've shown all by itself, can cause clotting. They've actually taken the spike protein and put it with blood, and you can see the proteins start to aggregate around it or adhere to it and begin the clotting process. It's a signaling protein all by itself that will cause clotting.
Well, all right.
It's a blood poison. There's no, unquestionably, it is a blood poison.
And it's not a survivable poison over time. It'll drag you down. That's what it seems like to me. How are you going to beat it?
Right.
Here are two more quick reports. One of my client's sons is a 34-year-old man, very healthy. He has to donate blood weekly because he's producing too much iron or red blood cells. So he donates blood and they throw it all away. He's being charged $150 for each donation because insurance won't cover it. He took the shot a few days ago and now he has a clot in his head. There's one. There's another mention of iron. He just got the shot a few days ago. Boom, he's got a clot in his head. Here's another one. My husband's vaxxed co-worker gave blood the other day. The blood actually stopped flowing out of the arm. And when they pulled the needle out, a huge clot came out with it. It's all insane. So there you go. All right, the next one, stunning differences in blood samples. Erica, take this one. The third one.
So, yeah, that's a side-by-side comparison of, obviously, at about a blood donation center. The left one is what would be considered normal, healthy blood. It's got a nice red tint to it. And the one on the right is the blood from a vaxxed person. And you can see it's very dark, almost black. Which indicates it's totally oxidized. This is, I don't know what they're planning on doing with this.
I wouldn't even be able to guess. Couldn't guess. Good luck. They can't, I know how greedy the Red Cross is. Maybe they're mixing it on a ratio, like three bags of the dark black muck and mix it in with seven bags of the nice red viable blood. They get more volume that way. I wouldn't put it past them.
I wonder if they're separating out the viable components. I mean, assuming there are any viable components in that, that's awful. I just,
Yeah, seriously, you raise a very good point. That looks like dead meat to me.
It does. So, it looks, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, the next one. How safe is the blood supply? People are getting transfused in this country every day around the clock. Keep that in mind. The blood supply. How safe is it? It's not. Red Cross latest vaxxed donor requirements. Erica pulled this one up. It's fascinating. Newest Red Cross donor eligibility rules should frighten everyone who cares about their health and their future. Go ahead. This is yours. This is a good one.
Well, yeah, I looked it up because I've heard them go back and forth on whether or not they will accept blood from people who are vaxxed, and as of this moment, they are not putting any restrictions on blood from vaxxed people.
None.
In fact, as long as you're feeling well, and that's, of course, a subjective opinion, you can donate blood the same day you get your vax, which I think is, appalling.
Well, look at the two-bag comparison, and maybe you can figure out who got the bioweapon.
And there's nanomaterials in this stuff that invariably are also now in the blood.
We don't even know, and we've said this forever, we don't know all the ingredients in that witch's brew of death. But there are so many, and they interact in ways that we're still trying to figure out on our side of the fence. Of course, the evil ones know. I think Dr. Chetty was maybe even understating it. Erica's a scientist here. We do this for you. And I'll try and play Dr. Chetty a little later, maybe in this hour. Maybe I can sneak it in there. But he's right. This is so complex, sophisticated, and evil that it does present the distinct possibility of an extinction-level event unless they stop it. And it's not just humans, we think, that can be affected with this. We think that all mammals are potential victims. Correct? How many cats died in the UK? In that one report we got.
Oh, it was like 300, wasn't it?
Just the owners got shot up, went home, and their house cats died. It was 400.
Yeah, it was it was a large number, and they tried to blame it on cat food, some tainted cat food, and then the story just disappeared.
It sure did. I would urge and implore any of you out there who are veterinarians and are seeing an inordinate amount of mammalian patients dying, dogs and cats, or pet hamsters, whatever. Let me know. I don't want your name. I don't want your practice location. We want the information, because we do think this is potentially spreadable to all mammalian life on this planet.
Yeah, I've heard the cat story from several people online through these groups. I've heard of seizures in dogs. You know, their owner gets faxed, and the same evening the dog has a seizure.
Just from being around the owner.
Yes, and brought it to the vet. The vet didn't know what was wrong, and so the owner and the dog went home, and the next day the same thing happened. And then the dog eventually died. Within 3 days of the owner getting vaxxed and petting the dog or interacting with the dog was dead.
And they're not sharing bodily fluids, friends.
No, they're just petting them.
Petting them, exhalation. That's why I keep going back to the fact that this bioweapon is incredibly sophisticated in its approaches to killing life. And it does so over time. So you've got built-in plausible deniability. In the piece that Eric is talking about, how safe is the blood supply is not, is one sentence having to do with donor eligibility. And it's highlighted in yellow. Tell us.
In most cases, there is no deferral time for individuals who received a COVID-19 vaccine as long as they are symptom-free and feeling well at the time of donation.
There it is in black and white. That's Red Cross text right there. So, you know, you have to get a transfusion. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know.
It's a lot to
All
think
right.
about.
Yeah. Next, warning, graphic video. Vaxxed woman manages to remove a huge clot from her nose. If you don't want to look at this, I don't blame you. But click on it. I'm going to take one more chance. It gives you, there's a warning inside. You have to click on that. Watch this video. It's in red there, so you can click on that. This poor woman took the bioweapon, pushed play on the video. I'm speechless. She said, oh, my God. You saw it. Okay, well, there you go. We got some really important ones here I want to try and get to. We've got 5-6 minutes. Removal of the contents of the vaccine. Now, this is that glass jar vacuum technique. Somebody gets shot up, they run to a doctor, they get it prepared, they were under a mandate, they get the shot, they run, the doctor says, we'll get it out of you. So you can watch this video. And that glass is put under vacuum, and it will pull blood. Those are blood drops coming out. They puncture the arm with a needle multiple times, and the blood drops, and theoretically the vaccine contents are part of them, come out into that glass. And you look at the video and see what that blood looks like. It looks like that 17-year-old boy's. It doesn't move. It looks like cranberry sauce. Okay, the brain clot. Erica, go ahead with that real quick.
Let's see. Okay.
That's the video.
Yeah, that's so. Obviously, that's an autopsy of a brain, and then you can see as they slice it open, there's enormous clots in there that look like jelly or cranberry sauce.
This person might have been shot up a few days before. We don't know. But that's what happens inside the brain of people.
Yep.
All right, next, dialysis. Click that one. Horrible clots taken out of the tubes of the dialysis machine. Look at that. They're trying to cleanse the blood of someone with kidney failure, kidney disease. And look what comes out. All right, next one. Live blood analysis shows critical blood clumping after unvaxxed person. After unvaxxed person is simply around vaxxed people. This is a live blood analysis showing clumping. Go ahead, Erica.
Yeah, so that's the Rouleau formation, where your red blood cells are all stacked together, so they can't really carry oxygen when they're in that type of formation. And they're doing that because they've lost their charge. Their cell membranes have lost their charge, so they don't repel each other. And they just all stick together. So the blue strand in the middle, I've been told, is something called a thallus, which is characteristic of a blood that's in a severe state of degeneration. It's very sick blood.
Very sick and very thick.
Yep.
All right, there's another piece of photographic evidence. All right, we have two more. Image of live blood from a vaxxed person. Now, before I leave this, you just saw blood that was essentially ruined in someone who had not taken the bioweapon. How did that happen? Spouse to spouse transmission? Office worker to office worker transmission? We don't know. But you don't have to be vaxxed to get knocked on your ass by this stuff. That's the point.
Correct. And there are people out there that think the shedding thing is pure fiction. It's not. It's absolutely not. There's too much of it being reported to think that it's fiction.
All right. We have two. Image of live blood from a vaxxed person. This is a large screen TV. What are we seeing here? It's black and white, it appears to be, anyway.
I can't even begin to guess what that is.
What are those green
things,
I'm
a complete amateur at this stuff,
yeah,
but it doesn't look normal.
That large clot, which appears to be what it is, a clot.
It's a solid mass of something.
I don't know. This is so science fiction-like, it's crazy. And all of us have front row seats to a science fiction movie, and we really can't change it. It is what it is. We can leave the theater and protect ourselves by not seeing it again, but at least we're getting an idea of the danger that we're all under now. Vaxxed and unvaxxed. Let's not forget our vaxxed friends. They're in grave trouble, many if not all of them. Last image of dry blood from a vaxxed person. All right, now this one, you got to let the image solidify. Look at that blood, or what was blood. It's dried out. Look how it's all stuck. And there are those white strands that we saw earlier in the 17-year-old's blood, huh? Maybe?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's just cracks just drying out, or if, because it doesn't look solid to me. It just looks...
No, it looks like they're pulled apart there.
Yes,
and you're seeing through it, so we'll assume that that's just space.
But I'm told some of the darker lines in this are actually evidence of viruses.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder what kind of viruses.
But that's, I can't comment much because I just don't have any training in this.
Right. All right. Well, there for all of you is a list about 9 different things to look at, to share. What I'm going to do when we post the audio of this program, in Erica's columnist section or over on the right in the big archive, I'm going to put a second link under it with all of these links, so they'll travel with the program audio, so you can share the program and the links. We're not going to lose these. So there we go. Okay, we want to wrap this up, and we'll step away for just a few minutes and come back.
Okay. Okay.
Did you have any comment about what we've seen?
No, no. I just would say everybody that's got the vax is probably at risk for these clots, so you might just want to get a D-dimer and see where you're at in that process.
Very good. Very good. If the doctors want to give people blood thinners, anticoagulants, you know quite a bit about those. What do you generally feel is wise to do? Follow their protocols? Is there another way?
Oh boy, I don't know, because the coagulation cascade, there's many points along the way. It's hard to know where to intervene. I've heard that the heparin is becoming ineffective in some cases, which that's the big guns. You know, by the time you go on heparin, that's
the end
best
of the line
best. But if that's becoming ineffective,
All right. Very good. Okay. We'll be right back with more after the break.